Blog Talk Radio.
Internet Church. We are a Christian internet ministry and we meet on the internet every Wednesday evening and Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America. and on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness to your children. We want to thank you for your abundant provision. We want to thank you for the uncovering and revealing of truth in the name of Jesus Christ. We have been seeking you, Father, with our hearts, with our spirits, with our soul, with our minds. We've been seeking you, Lord, and we've been calling on your holy name. We thank you, Lord, that as we went about our usual work ethic, as we went about our daily routine, Lord, you touched us, you spoke to us, you revealed to us, and you showed us places, Lord, where we were actually walking in pride and not in humility. We want to thank you that we were able to repent and to turn our hearts to you, Lord. We thank you for the blessings of correction, Lord, because they bring us closer to you. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, and because you love us, you pour out your truth in our hearts and in our lives. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for what you're doing in our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit here with us this morning. We want to thank you, Father, for all of our first-time listeners, and we encourage them to get on their computers or their cell phones and go to miracleinternetchurch.com and to join in the MIC radio chat room and greet the other believers when they enter. We thank you, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone. We bind the works of the devil over everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. This is a holy time before you, Lord. It's a time that we cherish. It is the Christian day of worship, and we give you praise, honor, and glory. We bow ourselves before you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bow ourselves and we worship you. We honor you. We reverence you. And we choose to turn from our wicked ways. We thank you, Lord, for all the good that you have done in us. We thank you, Lord, that you are moving obstacles out of our way. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with your spirit that we might understand and receive your word. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for every step. We thank you, Lord, for every promotion. We thank you, Lord, for every blessing that has been released to us in Jesus' name. We bless the name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, we come before you now, repenting of our sin. Yes, our sin. Our sins and the sins of our forebears. Every place that we have missed the mark, Lord, and come short of your glory, we now repent and turn from it. We don't call it a mistake. We call it sin. And we acknowledge it as sin. We ask you, Lord, to heal us. We ask you, Lord, to change us. We ask you, Lord, to bring us into the right way. We ask you, Lord, to show us where we are wrong. We ask you, Lord, to teach us. And we thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that the Bible says when we confess our faults before you, you are just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for the cleansing for those who are repenting in Jesus' name. Lord, As we walk this life, Lord, we have many challenges that we have not had before. And sometimes, Lord, we didn't quite make it. Father, we repent of not being prepared for the challenge. Yes, you came to prepare us, but maybe we were doing something else. We ask you, Lord, to bring us to the place that you would have us to be. We thank you. We give you praise. Sometimes we walked in blindness when our eyes should have been wide open. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for those things. Sometimes we misjudged and we didn't see things the way you know that they are. We ask that you forgive us, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that as you continually move us into your way, into the path that you have for us, that we will grow to appreciate what you are doing and your love and goodness that's being expressed to us. We receive your wisdom today, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for Holy Communion. And we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. For the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." All of you who have your elements for Holy Communion, take your bread in your hands now, in Jesus' name. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'We give you thanks for this Holy Communion, Father, in the name of Jesus. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Partake of the bread. "After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Partake of the cup. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the armor of God which we wear. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your power. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, in the name of Jesus, from our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man, all his evil angels, all his evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, his timing, his maneuvers, his tactics, his devices, his plans, his orders. We cancel every satanic agenda and all the demonic assignments against the righteous in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for this. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And we come out of agreement with this Satan and his kingdom and all of his underlings in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy, even through heredity in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy in Jesus' name. There is a door, Lord Jesus, that you close that no man can open. We pull down all demonic thrones, all principalities, all territorial demons in Jesus' name. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the four corners of their territory in Jesus' name. We bring down the beast that they placed at those corners in the name of Jesus Christ. We say that the wickedness of the wicked returns upon his own pate in the name of Jesus according to the scriptures. And we bring low the demonic realm we exalt the realm of Jesus Christ. We exalt it over every wicked thing, over every territorial devil. We exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Over every territory, we exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Over every principality, every power, all wickedness in high places, we exalt the name of Jesus Christ. We release the power in his holy name in every territory in the name of Jesus Christ. His name has power in the heavenlies, in the earth, and beneath the earth. And we thank you that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we release the power in the name of Jesus Christ. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks in Jesus' name. We bind every source of witchcraft attack attacking anyone from Miracle Outreach Ministries in Jesus' name. We bind every source of witchcraft attack against any member of Miracle Outreach Ministries in the name of Jesus Christ. And we return the attack onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind them to those devils in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporters, watchers, peeps, whisperers, remote viewers, familiar demons, electronic demons, technology demons, and all of their attacks, all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, all Kundalini spirits and their attacks, all water and marine spirits and their attacks, all sex devils and their attacks, all unclean spirits and their attacks, all passive devils and their attacks. Pain afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, we bind you in Jesus' name. All sorcery devils and their attacks, all seducing, womanizing, drone, whoredom spirits and their attacks, and all spirits that continually attempt to remotely view through any set of eyes, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, just as Jesus did to Elamite. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, just as the angels released their power against those that were coming around Lot's door, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the voices of the stranger and their attacks. We bind all targeted radio frequency attacks, all pulse weapons and their attacks, all microwave weapons and their attacks, all debilitating sonic frequencies and their attacks. The work of every druid we bind in Jesus' name. We overturn and empty all cauldrons in the name of Jesus Christ and all chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind Buddhist black magic, all black magic, Santeria, Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, Hindu magic, Hindu witchcraft, Hindu voodoo, all witchcraft, all Hindu practices, and all Hindu gods. We break your grip and hold in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your grip and hold in the name of Jesus Christ. All Indian witchcraft, voodoo, hoodoo, and witchcraft. All African, Hindu, and voodoo, witchcraft, whatever they have. Oh, yes, I know what they have. I remember that, Lord. Thank you. We bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all Caribbean and Latin American black magic and white magic. All hoodoo, voodoo, all witchcraft from any culture at any time against any Christian, against the kingdom of God. We bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the work, we bind the devices, we bind the maneuvers in the name of Jesus Christ. And we forbid you to continue your attack. And we return these attacks to the senders in Jesus' name. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal form. We bind all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them in their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that has been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all satanic ritual abuse devils and all satanic worship. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind spiders and their webs. We bind trapping them into their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits and spirits of infirmity, spirits of supplanting. We bind the gods of the people of the land and the gods of the groves and every spirit that exalts logic and human reasoning and science against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. Lord, we declare that our times and timing are in your hand. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant in Jesus' name. We bind all vampire spirits that tend to suck our energy and vitality. We break your grip and hold in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all voodoo, all hoodoo, all ancient arts, mystic rituals, and devils attending the New World Order and the New Age movement. We bind all false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, and evil in Jesus' name. We bind all lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-PK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist spirits, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind every spirit that defiles in Jesus' name. We bind the king of pride, and we bind all of his underlings to the king of pride in Jesus' name. We take all of his armor and strip it from him in the name of Jesus Christ. We cast down all his crowns in the name of Jesus. We pull down all his stars in the name of Jesus Christ, and we forbid him to attack the body of Christ any further in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in Jesus' name. We bind all sorcery sacrifices in Jesus' name as well. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control. We bind all mind control in Jesus' name. All mind control demons, you are bound in the name of Jesus Christ. We send you into the cage to the feet of Jesus to be judged now in Jesus' name. All nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all spies, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptations to sin. We bind Basilic, Moloch, Python, Baphomet and his 72, Neptune, Zeus, Mammon, Apollyon, Baal, Beelzebub, and Belial in the name of Jesus Christ. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all, and we loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, and witchcraft back on their own head as well as their mind control in Jesus' name, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, for ears to hear, for hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Father, we ask you to prepare our loved ones to come into the kingdom in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that you give them eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God will show them and tell them in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up to you, Lord, their ignorance, their rebellion, their wayward ways, Father, their refusal to come subject to the name of Jesus. We lift up to you, Lord, their pride. And we ask you, Father, to draw them to yourself with your loving kindness as you do. We ask you, Father, to show them the error of their ways. We bind their arguments against the truth in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Father, for you to release your grace and mercy upon your servants all over the globe, Father, that they can continue to witness to the truth of Jesus Christ and his gospel. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, Father. In the name of Jesus, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Father, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for all who are in authority, for kings and all true Christians. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Father, in Jesus' name, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we pull down protections over every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, shaman, and sorcerer in the name of Jesus Christ. And we break the power of all their witchcrafts against us in the name of Jesus. We bind their tribal rituals and their sins. We bind their curses, their vexes, their hexes, their spells, their bewitchments, their death spirits, their potions, their jinxes, their torments, their destruction, their root works, their crystals, and all of their ungodly works. With the sword of the Spirit, we circumcise ourselves from them and from every ungodly soul tie, ley line, covenant, or agreement, and every attachment to the demonic realm. We give you praise, Lord God. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. For your name is greater. Your name has more power than any work of the devil. We have seen, Lord, through your word, that Satan has fallen and that Jesus Christ has conquered. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Father, that victory truly belongs to Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for true Christians everywhere. Father, we ask that you release your word of truth through your anointed vessels of choice. Father, cause your people to hear your truth and to change their direction to follow you and not man. Father, the word of God declares from Proverbs 21:30 that there is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. In the House of Representatives, Bill 5 is fostered by Moms of America. That is the name of the organization. And it puts forth an Equality Act to become a United States federal legislation. It passed the House on February 25th of this year. It prohibits discrimination based on sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity. Its sponsor is David N. Celestine, a Democrat from Rhode Island. Lord, you know it all. It attacks your people. It protects the perversions of the homosexual agenda. No preaching against their sin, nor evangelizing them to repentance. It seeks to hinder our speech and muzzle our mouths. But Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pull it down from its high place. We bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid it to become law in the name of Jesus. We forbid, no matter how much witchcraft supports the homosexual agenda and the globalist agenda, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every act of witchcraft done to support it. We break the power of every sacrifice done to bring it forth. And we put it under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We put it under the feet of the Lord Jesus and under the power of his holy name. We thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that has risen against us in judgment, we condemn. We condemn it now in the name of Jesus Christ. We pull down their strategies. We pull down their devices, their mechanisms, their maneuvers to work an evil work, Father, in the name of Jesus. The Bible speaks of an evil work that they try to bring to forth that does not come to pass because they have no power to override the Godhead in Jesus' name. Father, the word declares that where two of us declare something to be illegal on earth, you agree from the heavenlies. We declare from the earth that this bill, H.R. 5, from the House of Representatives, is illegal. We bind it in Jesus' name. We chain the works of it. We chain the lies that propagate it in Jesus' name. The powers that bring it to pass and keep it moving, we bind in the name of Jesus Christ. We pull it down in Jesus' name. And we declare, Lord, that no spirit will pick it up to manifest it in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit that would attempt to manifest this thing in Jesus' name. We call it wickedness, wickedness from the very core. It is wickedness in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. We bind every demonic attack against the children of this ministry in this nation in Jesus' name, especially every attack which defiles them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, they are your children. They are separated unto you. Do justice on their behalf. We appeal to the righteous judge in Jesus' name. Father, set the battle in array in Jesus' name. We ask you to release your warring angels against every spirit that comes to defile our children in Jesus' name. We ask you to take it captive, Lord, and to judge it immediately in the name of Jesus Christ. When Jesus walked the earth, the demon said, "Have you come to destroy us before our time?" Well, guess what? Your time is now. We thank you, Father, for releasing your judgment against those spirits now in Jesus' name. Father, we release Psalm 91 and other scriptures over the people of God, your people who are called by your name. Protect them now from the brutal assault of the enemy and return the attacks and the very wickedness that spurs these attacks back onto the heads of the senders according to the covenant. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. That is your word to us, Father. You didn't say the weapon wouldn't be formed. You said it would not prosper. So we speak to the prosperity of H.R. 5, and we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. You said death and life are in the power of our tongues. We release death to H.R. 5 and all such legislation in Jesus' name from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus our Lord. We give you praise, Father. We give you praise because Jesus has already conquered. Jesus Christ has conquered, and he is Lord of all to the glory of God the Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen, 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 and amen. Lord, you know the devil has been working continually over the years to do wickedness against the body of Christ and against your righteous one. And Father, we stand with you against wickedness and evil. No, we are not going to stand by silently and watch the sex trade just continue forever. We're not going to sit by silently, Lord, and watch what Anita Bryant told us when I was a child was a homosexual agenda. Well, she was right. And we're not going to sit down and swallow it. It has nothing to do with whether or not they received a curse from their ancestors of perversion in the family line. We do not hate people. We love them. but we hate the entrapments of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. We hate the work of the devil. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord begins with a hatred of evil. In order to fear the Lord, you must hate evil. And we hate what Satan does to human beings. We will not sit by idly and pretend that we can't see, we can't hear, and we don't know what the enemy has done. He has attacked our very family. He's attacked many of us in that manner. Father, sexuality is a gift. It's a blessed gift that you give to mankind. And the Bible says that you created male and female, not anything else. And so everything else is a crime against the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father, that the word declares that when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto you. So, Lord, we know that there is a retribution and a recompense because of these things. And we declare that the perversion of this society shall not continue in the name of Jesus Christ. The twisting of the truth of the word of God shall not continue. Yes, Lord, you did do Sodom and Gomorrah. You did burn them to nothing. You released your judgment against sodomy. You released your judgment against lesbianism. You released your judgment against perversion. And you do not change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we stand with the truth that you are, Lord Jesus. No compromise. That's the sermon for today. No compromise in Jesus' name. From Psalm 101. Psalm 101. We want to thank David for this. Whichever person did this psalm, praise the Lord. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Well, Lord, if we're to set no wicked thing before our eyes, why must pornography be so prevalent in our society? Why must lewdness be so prevalent in our society? We must choose not to set a wicked thing before our eyes. Why do we have XXX movies? Why do we have XXX channels on the TV? Why do we have these stores that sell these things that I can't even figure out what they're for? Why do we have this? Because the evil one has changed the minds of men to no longer worship the creator, but worship the creation. It's the wicked one who has done this, not our God. Our God is high and holy and pure, and he calls us to be holy too. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I hate the work of them that turn aside, those that walk away from God and choose to walk in an evil way. Didn't say I hate them, says I hate the work of them. It shall not cleave to me. Well, Lord, you didn't call any masculine male to be feminine, and you did not call any woman to be masculine. We honor what you created. And we humble and submit ourselves to your will. When we find that we have an infestation of demonic activity in our lives, we call out to you and we ask you to cleanse us. We repent of it. We forsake it. We ask you to strengthen us, to heal us, and to deliver us. That is what we do. And Jesus Christ does it. There are many persons who were once what is termed homosexuals, who have repented of their sin, come to Jesus Christ. He has healed them, washed them, cleansed them, set them free, and made them whole. That is his miraculous power at work. He makes people whole. And they are now married. They have children. They have families, wholesome families. There is no reason to allow the enemy to run roughshod over this world. No reason at all. Why have we backed down from the call of the righteous? Why have we backed down from the truth of the word of God? The Bible says, it shall not cleave to me. Well, if you were born into this world and your ancestors participated in these things, those demons have an access to your life. You don't know anything about it at the time, but it's so. But as you come to the Lord, as you seek to please God Almighty, he begins to reveal these truths to you. And so I always felt like this. Well, that feeling is a demon. It is not the real you. It is a demon spirit that had access to you at conception. And yes, Jesus cast demons out. Demons are cast out with the finger of God. So you don't have to stay that way. You see, there are other people, their ancestors were a bunch of drunkards. And so alcoholism demons come to them. They don't have to be an alcoholic. They can turn to Jesus. He will cast the demons out. He will set them free, and they will walk in his truth. It does not matter what sin came down your family line. You don't have to keep it. The choice is yours. You can be free in Jesus' name. A froward heart, a perverse heart, shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I'm not chummy with those who operate in familiar spirits. They're not my buddies. I've chosen to follow Jesus. I've chosen to be righteous. I've decided I will be holy, for he calls me to be. And he tells me that without holiness, I shall not see him. Amen. I've chosen my side of the line, and I won't turn back. Whosoever privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. I don't have time for gossip. It's not my call in Christ Jesus. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. I'm not hanging out with the proud either. I don't need to learn their wicked ways. Their spirits will not become part of me. They will not transfer into me. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. You see, I choose my company. I've chosen to come out from among them and to be separate, as the Lord said. He that walketh in a perfect way shall serve me. People that work for me and serve me, they're going to walk in a perfect way, or I need to keep looking. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. You see, he wasn't playing around, saints. He wasn't wavering. He wasn't saying, well, maybe. No, he wasn't doing that. He came straight before the Lord. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. He didn't want those people around him. You see, if you hang around people that tell a bunch of lies, after a while you'd be telling lies too. That spirit will engulf you. It will attach itself to you. And before you know it, you'll be as big a liar as they are. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
In this sermon, The Lord is expressing his desire for his people to remain true to kingdom standards and principles. We are called to submit our lives to God's standards. We are not called to waver or to accept standards that are lower or not in agreement with the Word of God. It is sin for us to make dishonorable or shameful concessions to sin. It's wrong. I don't care if it is your sister. You know, there is hardly a person that I know that doesn't have someone in their family that has been trapped by perversion. I know that I have them in mine. I don't stop loving them. I don't stop interceding and praying for them. I don't stop being kind to them. But when I am in their presence and they are manifesting what they manifest, that's the time for me to stand up. You see, I'm righteous. I can't pretend that I don't see that and that I don't know that. Whether it be that I bind that thing or whether it be the Lord prompt me to address them. However it is that the Holy Spirit leads me, I'm not going to act like I don't see it and I don't know it. I'm not going to close my eyes, close my ears, and shut my mouth forever. I am under the auspices of God Almighty. You see, the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. And it's not my place to run and hide from the devil. And neither is it your place. Amen?
Amen.
Neither is it your place. So let's go to Galatians. We're going to go to Galatians for a moment. And we're going to find out what Paul did when he was dealing with those who were supposed to be believers. He ran into a situation of compromise, and he took a stand. You see, Father, we bring to you this morning those of us who have family members that are out of the way and in error and in deception and in sin, grave sin. And we know it. But a lot of times, Lord, we turn our head away. We cower down. We don't come to the forefront. We don't deal with it, not even in our prayer closet. We hide and we don't want to rock the boat. Well, Lord, that's not what you called us to do. We're supposed to be light where there is darkness. It doesn't mean that we don't embrace our loved ones. We have no hatred for them. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But we do come against sin and evil. And we take the same stand that you take, Lord. So we ask you to strengthen the saints this morning to stand for what is right and what is true. The ones that we love may not agree with us. They may choose to persecute us. But nonetheless, the Bible says that if we don't warn them, their blood is on our hands. We must tell the truth. We must tell the truth with no compromise. So here in the book of Galatians, we see a situation here where Paul got saved. And in this situation, Paul had to go visit, because through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, he went to visit with the other apostles. And in chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You see, at some point, you've got to decide who your God is. Is it your loved one, your friends, your family members? You know, they try to run your life anyway as it is. They've been doing that your whole life. Are they going to determine what you believe? Or is the word of God going to be what you believe? Amen? What is it going to be? So you see, Paul went up and he visited with the other apostles in Jerusalem, it says in verse 17 and 18, that he spent 15 days with them. And he met certain ones, and as it went, they came into agreement with what he was teaching. He explained the things that the Lord had revealed to him and what he was teaching to the Gentile nation. So later on in chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, Paul went to visit with them in Jerusalem, and he took Barnabas and Titus with him. He went back to say pretty much the same things. This is what we do. This is what I teach. This is what it is. And so Paul says that to them later on that he's shocked. But I'll tell you why he's shocked a little later. He talks about in verse 4 that false brethren unawares have been brought in. You know, there's always false brethren somewhere. Those that are hypocrites, they have an outward show of godliness, but they deny the truth within. He says they came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. They came to infiltrate a group of believers that were believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says in verse 5 that he didn't give any place to such. He didn't yield to them. He didn't go for it, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue. He says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whosoever, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they seem to be somewhat in conference, added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, and the gospel as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter. You see, Peter was the head of the Jewish end of the church. The Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, he brought the separating wall down between us. And he says, in essence, that no, you cannot be saved by works, by outward doing. It must be by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how everyone comes to the Father. By grace, by the gift of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. So you see, we had people that came out of the Jewish religion, and they wanted to continue doing everything like they had always done it. You know, there's always that crew that always wants to do every single thing just the way they have always done. And they wanted to hold on to things that God said, it's time to let go of those things. It's time to let go. Well, they're people of tradition, and they were going to hold on no matter what Paul or Peter or the other apostles preached. Not only that, but they wanted other people to do it their way. Jesus had already established the faith when he delivered it to the saints. It was by grace through faith in him. not of works, lest any man should boast. Human effort could not bring you salvation. It seems that James and Peter and John understood the grace that was on Paul's life, and they gave him and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that they should go to the heathen and they should go to the Jewish people. So you have Paul and Barnabas set aside to do a work that the Holy Spirit called them to do. So later on, Peter came to Antioch. But Paul had differences with him. Well, you say, well, why would that be? They left in agreement. Well, I'll explain it to you. Paul says that he had to withstand Peter to the face. In other words, he didn't do it in a closed room conference. He did it openly in front of everyone. Openly. Openly in front of everyone. Because he spoke strongly against what Peter was doing, because it was wrong. You see, when Peter first arrived, he was eating with a Gentile Christian. They were not trained in all the rituals of the Jewish religion. So they didn't bother with circumcision and many other things that Jewish people normally did. But you see, later on, some Jewish friends came by. And so Peter changed his activity. He stopped eating with the Gentile Christians because he was afraid of what the Jewish Christians might say or do, this particular group of friends. So let's begin here. Paul says that he is shocked that they were so quickly turning away from Jesus Christ and his way of salvation. These people were choosing to do what many do. They want Jesus plus the evil way. They want Jesus plus Santeria. They want Jesus plus witchcraft. They want Jesus plus everything else, plus their carnal life. They want Jesus and something else. And then they think they're going to mix it up like a cake, you know. They're just going to whip Jesus up in there with all their sin. But I have news for you. That won't work. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. Light dispels the darkness. There is no fellowship between Jesus Christ and Satan. The word clearly explains that. So you see, there is no room to compromise. Either you're going to be on the Lord's side or you're not. You can't have one foot in the devil's camp and one foot in the Lord's camp. You can't take the bread of communion and drink the cup of devil's too. It's one or the other, but not both. So you see, it was so strong and so pervasive that even Barnabas started acting like a hypocrite too, following Peter's example. Now, we both know that they knew better. We both know that both these men, even though having been raised a certain way, they turned to the faith of Jesus Christ. Their salvation came through faith in Jesus, not of outward works that they had done. But you see, in the presence of other company, they compromised that holy stand. They stopped eating with the Gentile Christians. These people have been washed in the blood, you see. But they stopped associating over here with them. Oh, they were only going to be with the little Jewish group. That's wrong. That's hypocrisy. It's sin. It's pride. It's rebellion. It's defiance against the truth. And Paul says that when he saw that happening, that they were not being honest about what they really believed, and they were not standing up for the real truth of the gospel, he had something to say. He had something to say about it, you see. There is no other way other than Jesus Christ, saints. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, these saints have become bewitched or fooled by those who twisted and attempted to change the truth concerning Jesus Christ and the true way of salvation. You see, saints, Leviathan is that spirit. Leviathan is that spirit that twists the truth, that contorts the truth. Leviathan, the king of pride, that's the spirit that does that. So when you hear partial truth and it's twisted a certain way, or it leaves the speaker one way, but by the time it gets in the hearer's ears, it's something different, Leviathan is at work. And yes, we bind him, because we have power and authority over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means harm us. You see, this spirit, this demon spirit, wants to pervade the body of Christ. During this month, pride is being exalted from certain communities. Not humility, pride. And their pride leads them to twist truth. It's called perversion. But we are not those that have turned aside from the truth. We embrace the truth, receive the truth, walk in the truth, love the truth, grow in our love for truth. We're not going to turn aside to lie. That's not who we are. See, we know that Leviathan, the king of pride, works to change truth. The serpent clearly displayed his character in the Garden of Eden with Eve when he said, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Put your finger or your marker in Galatians. We're coming back there. And let's go to Genesis 3 for a minute. Genesis 3. Genesis 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He's subtle. He comes in stealth if he can. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, God, hath God said?" Did God say this? He's questioning what is already clearly known. "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." All right. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Now it's clear what God has said. But the serpent has come already to say that God is lying. God cannot lie. There's no lie in him. He is truth. We discovered that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And since we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are called to live in truth. Verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And you know what happened after that. You know what happened after that. They had death, all right. It started with their relationship with the Lord. the glory that was upon them departed. They had defied and rebelled against God. You see, the devil also tried this same maneuver on Jesus Christ during his 40-day fast. And in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 9, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 9, we have this scene. And he brought him to Jerusalem, speaking of Jesus Christ, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, here's the devil quoting the word, For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. That's the devil quoting the word to Jesus Christ on a fast. And Jesus answering said unto him, Jesus did not ignore him. He dealt with him. He answered him and said this to him, It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He didn't play around. He just got to the point. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, Satan, I don't want to hurt your feelings. None of that. He just got to the point. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. You know, saints, when we do warfare, we need to use the word just like Jesus did. We need to put it to the devil just like he did. And we don't need to make any excuses for it. And so, back to Galatians. Now, for those of you who had stepped away and went to the bathroom, we're going to bring you back up again. Jesus showed the devil that he would not back down and that he would not compromise. We shouldn't back down. We shouldn't compromise. So years later, when Paul returned to visit, he went to talk to the disciples. After that, Peter came to Antioch. Paul took issue with him because the Apostle Paul was committing a sin. And this was the issue. Now that you're back, God bless you. Pick up with us. We're in Galatians chapter 2, around verse 14. When Peter first arrived, he ate freely with the Gentile Christians who did not practice many of the Jewish rituals and laws. But after some Jewish friends joined them, these friends were very legalistic. They believed in crossing every T and dotting every I of the Jewish ceremony. Peter decided he would not eat with the Gentile Christians anymore out of fear of what the legal insistings of the Jewish people would be. He was concerned about what they would think, what they would say, and what they would do. To the point so much that Barnabas joined in, though they both knew better. Peter and Barnabas were not being honest. So Paul addressed the matter publicly in front of everyone. And in verse 14 he says, When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We know the truth. We're not in bondage. We're not blind. We're not ignorant. We know that just simply doing the works of the law won't get you into the kingdom. We know what the truth is. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For Paul says, if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If after I've been brought into the truth and I walk into the truth, I decide I'm not going to do the truth, I make myself a transgressor. If the Lord has brought me into the truth about deliverance and about spiritual warfare and about my need for it, and I decide that I want to turn away, I don't want to do spiritual warfare, I don't want to get deliverance, I make myself a transgressor. That's the word of God. If I've been brought into the truth about divine healing, and I know what the Bible says, I can see clearly in the gospel what Jesus did, and I turn away, and I'm never going to trust divine healing, I'm just going to run to the doctor, run to the pharmacy, and that's all I'm ever going to do for as long as I live. I make myself a transgressor. I don't come to God first and ask him to heal me. No, forget that. I'm going straight to my appointment, need my insurance, and here I am. I make myself a transgressor. And there are many, many scenarios for this, where God has brought you out of darkness into truth, into life, but you decide, no, I'm going to go back and do it the old way. You make yourself a transgressor. We have to walk in the truth continually. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. I can't go back to the way that it was, to the way things used to be. I can't go back. I won't go back. I won't turn back to who I used to be. You see, once the Lord has opened up his truth to us, and we choose not to continually move forward in the truth that he has revealed to us, and we, out of fear, out of pride, out of whatever sin we choose to go back, we make ourselves a transgressor. Because you see, we tore down those old places in our lives when we came to follow Jesus. If he brought you out of witchcraft, and you start hanging back again with your old witchcraft buddies, you make yourself a transgressor. If he brought you out of lesbianism, and now you want to go to lunch and hobnob with your old lesbian friends, you make yourself a transgressor. You know that you're not going there to minister. You could do that over the phone. You're going there because you want a fellowship with your old buddy. Well, your old buddy is still in bondage. Your old buddy is still in darkness. So tell me, where is the fellowship between light and darkness there? The title of this sermon is still No Compromise. He called you out from among them and called you to be separate, and told you not to touch the unclean thing, and he would receive you. So what are you doing going back? For through the law I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I've dropped off everything of the old life. Why? That I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. How many of us are frustrating the grace of God? How many of us? You see, to conceal righteousness under a pretense is sin. Peter and Barnabas's right believing that salvation is by faith and grace and not by works went under a false pretense when they refused to eat with the Gentile believers in preference for the legal Jewish friends, a true form of hypocrisy. They were not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Their doings were wrong and sin. In the lives of many believers, there is much compromise, much swaying, so as not to hurt people's feelings while we watch them move further toward the mouth of hell itself. The life of the Christian bows to the word of God. It is not called to pacify or placate people's feelings. Christians need to tell the truth, whether people will receive the truth or reject the truth. Our behavior must line up with the word of God, which we believe. We cannot pretend that we are in agreement with those who continually oppose our God and his kingdom. There is no middle road. There is only the broad way that leads to destruction or the narrow way that leads to eternal life. There is no chameleons in Christ. You cannot change your colors depending on the company around you at the time. Saints, we cannot walk in agreement with continual evil or deliberate wrongdoing. As David told us in Psalm 101 that we read earlier, in verse 4, he says, a froward or perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whosoever privately slanders his neighbor, you want to gossip, I'll cut you off. He didn't say, I'm going to talk you out of gossiping. He says, I'm cutting you off. It's over. You won't hear from me, and I won't be answering your phone call. Don't text me. Don't email me. Don't ring my doorbell, and don't call me anymore. When you see me at the restaurant, walk on by. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. I'm not getting ready to hobnob with those who don't want to walk in agreement with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he said. David said that he would not compromise with backslidden troublemakers, and neither should we. Let's look at Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63 beginning with verse 9. Isaiah 63 beginning with verse 9. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. When you choose by an act of your will to rebel against the Lord God Almighty, to grieve his Holy Spirit. He turns and he ceases to be your friend, and he becomes your enemy, and he will fight against you. Who needs God Almighty fighting against them? Who would want such? Who? When we see this happening to those who are close to us, this is not a time to side with the enemy and pet their flesh. When we see this happening to those that are close around us and in our sphere of influence, this is not the time to take the side of the enemy and pet their flesh. Oh, you poor baby. Oh, 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 oh. This happened to you. You know, we pray for God to bless those that we love. Well, you see, he considers blessing to begin with salvation. And when he allows circumstances into the lives of those that we are interceding for to have some issues, that some challenges they must deal with to bring them to him, the first thing we want to do is pray it away. Oh, Lord, fix this immediately. Well, didn't you just pray for him to save them? You asked him to bless them. Well, he wants to bless them in a mighty and magnificent way. He wants them saved. He doesn't want them in compromise. He really wants them saved. So when trouble comes, you pray the trouble away. Well, if you keep doing that, are they going to get saved? No, what we should pray is, Father, we ask you to use this situation in so-and-so's life to draw them to you. You see, you've been giving them favor and you've been giving them grace because I've kept asking you to, and they're just as hard-headed, stiff-necked, rebellious as they've always been. So the Lord allows some different kind of circumstances in their lives to get their attention. No, no, here you come with your holy, pious self. Oh, no, they can't have any trouble in their lives. Well, everyone has trouble. So my question to you is today, where do you stand? Are you on the Lord's side? Because you see, he's trying to get this person saved for real. Not just mouthing words, but their heart is far from him. That's not what he's looking for. He wants a committed heart, and he's got to go after it to get it. They're not going to voluntarily turn it over. You didn't. I don't know why you think they will. And he's going to have to keep allowing things to happen over and over. Why? You didn't learn it the first time he tried to get your attention. You were busy doing what you thought was your thing. Well, that's what they do. And he's got to keep working at it and keep working at it. They're going to try this alternate solution, anything but coming straight with dealing with Jesus, straight up, everything but that. If they see a back door, they're out there. They're doing this. They're doing that. But you need to keep saying, Lord, whatever they run to, let it fail them. Let it fail them. Let them come to the place where they put their full trust and dependence in you. Don't let the back door work. Make them come to the front door like everybody else. What we should say to them, some of us, if we'll stand with the Lord, is, have you done or said anything that is against God to bring this situation about? Let them look in the mirror of their lives. In other words, have they sinned against the Lord? Proverbs 29, verse 1, Proverbs 29, verse 1 says, he that being reproved often he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Hardeneth his neck. He's been getting corrected. He's been getting corrected. He's been getting corrected. And he keeps stiffening and stiffening and stiffening. And more stubborn and more stubborn and more stubborn. And God said he shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The Bible says that we need to pray for these people, but we need to let them process so that they will come into the kingdom. See, there's this process by which men are saved. There's this process that they are healed. There's this process through which they are delivered. Everybody got to go through the process. And there's no way to circumvent the process. So we should allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us the perfect will of God. Amen? We are to love them with the truth. We are to warn them with the truth. We are to stand for the truth. We are not supposed to lie to them to make them feel better. Continual disobedience and rebellion will eventually bring the Lord's retribution. God is no respecter of person. I remember when I was growing up, there were some children that had to get a spanking every single day. When they got home from school, their mom was waiting every day. They were some hard-headed, stiff-necked people. Children that got into something every day. You see, there are some children that hate spanking. So they'll do everything they can do to get out of it so that they won't get one. But there are some children, they are boneheaded. They are stiff-necked. They are so strong-willed that they just don't care. So the mom would be waiting there for them to get home from school. And every day, they got a whipping. They got a spanking every single day. But I want to tell you something about those children whose mothers loved them enough to chastise them continually. When they grew up, they were fine individuals. No, they were not abused. They were fine individuals. They can tell you the difference between right and wrong, and they know how not to lie, how not to steal, and how not to cheat. Why? Because she wouldn't back down. This is right. This is wrong. This is the way I'm training you in. You will walk that way. They're fine people. I know many of them. But you see, when they were going through the process, they had to get a spanking every single day. There are all kinds of people in the earth. Some of them can get a spanking every blue moon and they'll be fine. Others, you can just look at them and they'll straighten up. But there are those that have to get a spanking every single day. When God comes to spank your loved one, your friend, your associate, your whatever they are to you, don't get in the way. Pray for them to learn. Pray for them to learn so that they don't keep repeating the same old problem every single day. I know someone, and I won't mention any names. That person doesn't even live in this area. They keep doing the same sin over and over. They keep fornicating. They could not choose not to do that, but no, that's what they want. And they know it's wrong. They've been told on many occasions that if they don't quit, they're going to probably go to hell. But do they pay that any attention? No, this person just keeps right on fornicating. And they keep right on fornicating. So I finally said something to the Lord, since I'm believing the Lord to save this person's soul, sure enough. I said, Lord, what shall I do? So the Lord allowed my eyes to go across that scripture that says, if you don't warn them, their blood is on your hands. I said, I know exactly what to do. I got on my computer. I pulled out the right scriptures, and I sent an email. Fornication, 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 fornication. Their comment to me, wow, it's a lot of scriptures on fornication. I said, okay, we'll have your attention yet. So I sat back down to my computer. I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? So we sent some more scriptures. Whore, whoremonger, whoredom. Whore, whoremonger, whoredom. Whore, whoremonger, whoredom. They didn't like being called a whoremonger. I said, well, these are Bible terms. These are terms that are in the Bible. This is what God calls it. This is what it is. A promiscuous lifestyle is a lifestyle of whoredom. Have they changed yet? No. Have they been warned? Yes. Do they know they're wrong? Sure enough. Yes. But you see, this person is in the valley of decision. They have to process. And many of our loved ones are going through the process. Make sure that you don't change sides during the process. Make sure that you stay on the Lord's side. You see, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. We are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We want to be free from Satan's bondages. That's how we love ourselves. Let's love others too. We have no need to judge. The scriptures have already done that. We need to stand for and live the truth of the word with our mouths wide open, not in silence due to hypocrisy. Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says the following. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This is how we love. This is the word of God. Stand for the benediction. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, speak to our heart. Strengthen our resolve to be true to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if we are ashamed of your word, there's a consequence coming that we won't like. So, Father, today, as we meditate on what you have said, speak to our hearts and show us where we might be leaning toward compromise. Show us where we might be turning away from you, Lord. Give us the strength, the fortitude, the courage to do what you lead us to do, to say what you tell us to say, to take the stand that you tell us to take. Let us not waver, Lord. Let us be steadfast in you. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For those of you who are wondering, the fast is not over until tonight at midnight. Amen. Now, Pastor is going to go a little further. And if you would desire, if you want to, if you feel led by the Lord, you may continue along with me. Amen? Amen. But it is your choice, you and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Oh, that's right. Thank you, Pastor Bill. Remember now, today is the day that you're supposed to go into the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room and sign in and list your prayer for your unsaved loved ones. Amen? Amen. Jesus is watching, and we're waiting to come in agreement with your prayer. We love you, and God bless you. Amen? Amen.
You are. Lord.